TALK and download the software and join us here in this virtual forum. My name is Jonathan Neal. I'm joined this evening by my co-hostess, Basima Fairhat. She is here. Basima, can you say hello?
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the show.
There she is. Sounds great, Basima. This is a one-hour program, and we do our best to bring people into this forum who have broad knowledge and diverse knowledge on a range of subjects, and they're allowed to come into this public forum unvetted and speak their minds. And toward the end of this program, we'll give the people in the Pal Talk audience the opportunity to come up to the microphone and ask these people their probing questions if they want, lighthearted questions, as long as it's fairly brief, in order to give the person more. Mainstream moms is okay, right, Megan? I like that. I like mainstream moms.
We are partners on a project, Leave My Child Alone, launched around this time last year to really build awareness and give tools to families around the country on a pretty sneaky section of the No Child Left Behind Act that I had been unaware of, but requires schools of their students to local military recruiters. And these lists were called by Jim Massey, a Gulf War vet and now very outspoken former recruiter. He called these lists the recruiter's lifeblood, and they are used for sort of targeted home phone calls and home visits. Behind section that requires schools to do this also requires schools to let families know about it and give them the option to opt off of those lists. But so there's such a lack of awareness on that. A year to tell people and then give them the tools to get off the list.
Megan, can I ask you something? You know, on the mission statement in the Mainstream Moms website, it stated that you were working for the restoration of democracy. You know, just that term, restored democracy, leads me to believe that you think our democracy is no longer intact. Or in some way, why should we have to restore it? And if we do, and if there is a lack of democratic mindset in our country today, how do you think we can reinstate it or restore it?
Well, I know I do feel that our democracy is pretty tattered right now, and one of the aspects that I think is within our power to retake is just the repopulation of democracy by people. And I mean, it sounds too obvious for words, but all of the campaigns that Main Street Moms work on have an element that draws people tangible local actions that would tend to convert them over from consumers back into active participating citizens, and from the ground up nationally to begin. Leave My Child Alone was very interesting to me because we could use the network of school boards nationally, give people a little, we've got an adopt-a-school board kit and kind of a how to get on the agenda, talking points, how to change policy at the school board level. And I think that, we found that a lot of people got really motivated that way and ended up running for school board. And my belief is remaining active sort of engines of democracy in their communities.
Well, you know, one of the more powerful versions of the process of what used to be an effective government that we have here is the ability to go into a city hall and make a difference, and go into a city hall either armed with the knowledge that you have or with in a group of friends with similar empowered knowledge. And it's very important. You know, people call it grassroots, but I think we're up against something that hopefully the actual way that the voting process works, but we can get back, we can get to that or not. We have other things we need to talk about concerning what you're a part of, and we'll get to those things, as Megan, both Basima and myself. We may interrupt each other every now and then, but that's what friends do. And we'll turn in, I'm not thinking now, but we're friends do, and it will... it will reinforce some of the ideas that we're going to share this evening. So let's go ahead and do that. We'll take a quick break for about 40 seconds, and we'll resume right after that. So stay with us, and we'll be right back after this important message. Thank you.
Did you know that President Bush's No Child Left Behind Act mandates that public high schools turn over private student information to military recruiters or risk losing federal funding? Not only a database of over 30 million young people up to age 17, you can protect your child from unwanted military recruiting by removing their names off both of these lists. Go to LeaveMyChildAlone.org.
And there you go, LeaveMyChildAlone.org. We're back. We're going to jump right into some of the fundamental questions I want to ask. The most basic question would be to have you tell us a little bit about yourself and what compelled you to create this organization that we like to call Mainstream Moms.
There are probably a bunch of reasons. My main are I've got three young kids, and I got tired of being a total spectator to the unfolding disaster of our democracy. And we actually got very personally involved with the Dean campaign, and from there, out there like me who might not be able to show up for envelope stuffing at the party headquarters and that sort of thing, but would ache to participate within the chaos of their own schedule. So we started putting together online resources for mothers around the country, and we ended up sending about a 500,000 personal letters with voter registration forms to unregistered single moms in the swing states in 2004, and it was possible to do because we just really open sourced all the information on our website, and then were able to purchase voter lists to get out to all these moms' house parties around the country. And I had for it in the beginning, and it took off, everyone's part to get involved, but the traditional avenues aren't really accessible to some people because of the busyness of their lives, or they're not meaningful. So really we tailor everything we do to be meaningful and feel like you're going somewhere that matters, but also be have a tangible impact locally.
As a mother myself, I remember when my son graduated high school or was getting close to and was getting all of the mailers that were coming up from the various recruiting stations. And I was very disturbed by it at the time. And obviously, you know, when I understand that our educational funding is working to entice our children, it's literally almost a form of blackmail on the part of our government. What strategies have you employed? And, you know, is there any way, one of the things that I found very strange was that very few mothers or fathers knew that this was happening. How can we get the message out to the children, just like the recruiters get the mailers out? Isn't there some way that we can get mailers out to the parents to inform them this is what's happening in their schools to their children?
It was that piece of it that really got me going on the road to launching Leave My Child Alone, which is the outrage factor. What's this doing in No Child Left Behind, which is already a disastrous piece of legislation, but at least it was pretty much related to education, a misguided law around education, but to have this sneaky piece in there about military recruiting, I just thought that this is going to be, it's going to be so easy to galvanize action around this because the second people know about it, they're going to take action. And so we found that the best way to communicate was actually through the schools, through the superintendents, through the survey of 12,000 superintendents around the country, and it turned out that only 40% of them were actually sending out any kind of notice, release of personal information to recruiters. But many of them, I mean, it really seemed like they were already just overwhelmed by all the requirements of No Child Left Behind, and they were grateful to the campaign for supplying them with a sample opt-out form that they could use in their packets to parents. And so I guess that was one of the things, was going in a non-confrontational way to your school board, your principal, your superintendent, and saying, can we help you let your school community know about this? And also just giving parents the tools through the website to go and lobby their school boards and their superintendents was immensely effective, because then, you know, none of us have the budget that the Army has. They've got a $4 billion advertising contract out there a $1 billion advertising contract, but a $4 billion overall recruiting budget. We can't compete against that except with people. So if we're able to give families, students, parents, teachers have been really involved, the tools to change policy at the school level, then we're able to build immense awareness. And then the other tool that I found was really successful is that because this was so little known, it was picked up by the press enormously. And when they had local parents to cover, you know, showing up at a school board meeting and that sort of thing, a lot of local papers would cover it. And then we started getting calls from USA Today, and 60 Minutes was going to do something, and Newsweek was interested, and we really were seeing the press as the best and cheapest outreach tool to reach millions of families with this information. So I guess that you got to be pretty resourceful when you don't have the $4 billion budget.
I think you're doing a great job.
It's a very effective budget. Megan, have you looked into the any Pentagon attempts to infiltrate the minds of young teen boys, especially with the video game, kind of a testing a person's motor skills by actually online video games, especially actually having operatives from the military for that $4 billion tracking the use and actually interacting with kids either directly over the internet or with video games that consumers take home with them. You buy a video game for your child, and the video game actually takes them to a virtual world, which in many cases includes severe combat operations that are as high-tech as you can imagine. Good usage of Pentagon resources in order to hone these video games as a training tool or as an exploratory tool to see how a teen, males especially, and females, how they actually would do in the armed services?
Well, I think that we have, to date, focused only on the more overt use of video games. I know we've talked to plenty of students who have these online goodie tables on campus goodie tables with Xboxes as a reward for, you know, a chin-up contest, that sort of thing. So using them as prizes and treats for that kind of interaction that gets them signed up and on a mailing list, I've definitely noticed. In terms of testing their testing kids' reflex skills, I haven't seen that, but I've seen plenty of use of the military games online to draw people in. They're always trying to collect information. And then I would love to take time and resources allowing, but just the obvious desensitization of our kids to outrageous violence through the video game industry. And just to your point about the sophistication of tactics, I come from a confession advertising background, and so I know what $1 million advertising budget does. It produces extremely sophisticated marketing tactics. The ads that they run for the Army would get a lot of people. It could tempt anyone to sign up because they focus exclusively on character and money and travel and adventure and education, and they've gotten more and more subtle about all of that in a way that I think it would be pretty hard for you know, young humans in development, 16, 17, 18 years old, to, you know, have enough of the media savvy tools to deal with. So I really have a problem on the kind of media literacy and truth in advertising front.
Megan, you know, here we are as constituents in this country, and the confusion and the confliction of the messages we get through politicians and legislators in this country is amazing, and it's profound. Who are we going to vote for? Who are the people that are interested in this situation about recruiting our children right from the crib on up? Give us names. We need politicians and legislators that we need to back when the backing really gets there. I know that as a recruiter in voter registration for single moms, that was important. Who are we going to back? Tell us about them. Tell our audience why we should back them. This is an incredible group of virtual audience members, and these people have pull, and they're the kind of people that go out and do the work. They do the voter registration. They need to know who we need to back in these issues.
Well, I would love to be able to lay out a guide, but I think there is such a fever amongst of appearing in the least anti-military and anti-troops that I think it is up to everyone in this forum to ask, get opportunities to ask candidates outright about this. We have found that we actually are looking at a vote in the California Assembly tomorrow on a bill that has come out of Leave My Child Alone efforts. The over 2 million high school families in California know that their information is going to opt out. But to get this bill through even the fairly progressive California Assembly, that it was really a wake-up call, you know, at how far our candidates and our elected officials are willing to go on this issue. My basic answer would be look for people of courage and put them on the spot about this and discuss it with them in ways that really come home. I would really talk about minors dealing with this level of sophistication on the part of the recruiters and on the part of the advertising, and that it just doesn't, this kind of thing doesn't belong in our middle schools. As I mentioned earlier, we're hearing from parents around the country, a mother of a seventh grade girl, forced to watch Channel 1 in her middle school homeroom in Tennessee, and seeing four hefty ads every day from the four branches of the military. And those are really seductive ads. I mean, they have snowboarding and GPS location, and that's the message about joining the Air Force. And they have...
Wow.
They have, it's really appealing stuff, and it doesn't belong in front of our 13 and 14-year-olds, let alone our 18-year-olds. And so I guess really doing the work to find ways to talk about it to our fairly scared leadership and giving them the tools to fight for it is the unfortunate lesson I've learned.
Do you have any other information as far as the legislative process or what some of the politicians may be doing other than California? You mentioned California. Is there any other news that you could share with us about guys as far
well,
as...
Well, I would, one thing I would look at, a name I would give, not an individual name, but this network of women has been amazing. Not a great acronym. It's Women Forum. It's a network of 400 state-level women legislators, and I believe we have three of them introduce simple legislation around opt-out, and they all many of them were supporting it in their state. And they got it right away why this was important.